And boy, they get singing about the Bible, it ought to stir you.
Yes.
If it wasn't for the Bible, amen.
Right.
Thank God for His Word.
Yeah.
Amen. His inerrant, that ought to mean something to us.
Yeah.
I've never found a flaw in it.
Right, preacher.
His inerrant, inexhaustible. Amen.
Go ahead.
I've preached from Mark 5 before, but you'll never exhaust it. Amen.
Right.
Inerrant, inexhaustible, infallible Word of God. It's alive, and it's exactly what I need, exactly when I need it.
Go ahead.
Sure is good.
Yes,
amen. I didn't quite understand it when I was a boy. And folks would get excited about it. Folks would shout about it. Men and women would come, get born again through and by it. And but I sure know there was something about it that I wanted.
Yeah.
Amen. And it's now at 42 years old. There's something about it I sure don't want to live without. Amen. Thank God. Thank God for the Word of God. And we are sure spoiled to it in this world. Amen. Preacher, I ain't got no grip. I ain't had none in years. So putting that on me there. We are sure spoiled to it. You go to a lot of places. Good. That thing on, I don't think I need one. Praise God. You go to a lot of places and they think a lot more of theirs than we do ours.
Go ahead, brother.
Amen. They think a lot more of theirs than we do ours. We've got them everywhere. And boy, I'm thankful for the Word of God.
Yes.
And boy, I tell you, it's good to be in the house of God tonight. There's nowhere I'd rather be with my family tonight on my birthday than in the Lord's house. It'd be a good day for somebody to get saved.
Yes.
And
yes,
it'd just be a real good time. It feels pretty good, and I don't even have to preach.
Right.
And be a real good time just to be obedient unto the Lord.
Right.
And just receive whatever it is. I'm glad there is the ability to have an expectation of some things when you come to church.
Yes.
And I hope and I pray that you've came expecting to receive something. Amen.
Yes.
Mark chapter number 5. I'm not gonna give you anything new tonight. Maybe it'll just be a blessing. Verse number 25. We'll read these. I'm just gonna leave your Bible open. I'm not gonna preach on all 5 chapters, but we may reference a few things, and I'll give you what the Lord's given me. Is there a clock in this place anywhere? Amen. Well, hallelujah. Verse 25, and a certain woman, you know, you ought to go through your Bible, and I got to get started so I can get done, but you ought to underline every place that the word certain is used. And you're not just somebody in the eyes of the Lord, amen, or just a part of a number. You're just not a part of, you know, that's a speck within humanity. And in reality, that's what we are. You know, when you think of how small, irrelevant that we are, amen. But, you know, in the Bible, here she is. She's of no use to anyone. She's in a mess. Yeah, but she's a certain woman. She's a certain woman. Which had had an issue of blood for 12 years. He specifically knew how long. And he said it suffered many things, not just one or two, many things and many physicians. And had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And when she'd heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched me? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Bunch of smart alecks there. Amen. Verse 32, and he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. That's a good way to do it always. Amen. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Let's ask God to help us. Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight, Lord, as humbly as I know how. And Lord, I desire your help. Lord, I'm positive and I'm sure that in this hour in which we live of smarts and education and intellectualism, God, I'm sure that there are many today, Lord, that could stand in this position and probably, Lord, would think in their own thoughts or their own mind that they don't even need God's help in this one spot. Lord, I'm not one of them tonight. Lord, I'm not relying on any kind of talent. I'm not good at anything. I've never been good at anything. There's nothing that I could say tonight within this crowd of folks that are here that, Lord, that I could say of my own self or my own ideology or anything, Lord, that maybe I've come about in understanding tonight that would help anyone. We would go away. And Lord, the only thing we would be able to say is that we have wasted our time if I were to expound on anything of myself. And so, Lord, I'm not relying on a talent tonight, God, but I pray, Lord, for a special touch from heaven. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would deal with our hearts. And Lord, I pray for the illuminating light of that word that she sung about tonight, Lord, to help us, Lord. I pray you would shine in the dark places of our soul. Help us, Lord, to get a good close look, a good up close look of what you are and what you've done and, Lord, what you're going to do and the continuation of thy goodness on and on and on, day by day and hour by hour and moment by moment, even when I don't know it, even when I don't see it, Lord. I pray we would see that in these verses tonight. And God, I pray also, Lord, that you would help me when I see you to see me, how sorry and rotten and low down and no good and hell deserving tonight, Lord, that I am. And may we all be categorized tonight in thy sight, Lord, is that way, that we're nothing and you are everything. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would empty me of me. Lord, there's all kinds of thoughts and cares and obligations of tomorrow and responsibilities. And Lord, all these things, I pray you'd help me to shed them for a few moments of time. Just shed them off of me tonight, God. I beg and I pray and everyone else. And Lord, I pray you would arrest the attention of everyone that's here, from the smallest child to the Lord, to the oldest saint of God. And I pray we'd be seated in a heavenly place receiving what you'd have for us tonight. Lord, empty me of myself. And Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would rest upon me, because that's what it takes to preach. And Lord, if that wasn't happen, I pray, Lord, that you'd just help me to sit down and get out of thy way. But I pray that you'd help me tonight, Lord. I pray, Lord, tonight you forgive me of sin and shortcomings and failures. Hide me behind thy cross. Help me to preach this, Lord, be my last time. And I say that, Lord, because I know one day it will be a last time. There'll come a last moment, a last place. There'll be a last time we open up the Bible and we exclaim thy truths, Lord, and we explain the Word of God and we preach to folks and we try to help people. And Lord, I know that day, someday's coming. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me to preach, Lord, with power and unction tonight, as though it was that time. Lord, I ask you to save that soul that's nearest hell, wherever they are. I pray, help me to be mindful of the time. Help me, the Lord, to know when to get done. The Holy Ghost would help me to know. In Christ's name, I beg and I ask with every fiber within me. Help me, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen and amen. I know we've done sung about it, and it was fitting for what the Lord had on my mind. And I don't, you know, it don't have to be that way. Amen. And I'm not really one of them that thinks you ought to sing a message. Most time when you try to sing a song, it goes along with a message. You know, most time it flops when it's a us, but I believe it's of the Holy Ghost to help me and my nerves a little bit. I've been preaching for a pretty good time, over 20 years, and I still get real nervous. Amen. I still get nervous and I get tore up, and I want to be obedient to God. And I mean, it's pretty important. I mean, souls are in the balance, and there might be somebody that tonight may hear the Word of God for the last time and they need to hear it clear. And the thought of God using me to do that sometimes is overwhelming. Amen. And, but I'm thankful tonight, as she has already sung, for the Word of God. Amen. And not just the parts and not just the places that I enjoy, and I have all of them. Amen. Yes. I've got places in the Bible, Brother Delmer, that I just love. I enjoy them. They're my favorites, especially in the ministry of Jesus. Amen. I mean, anywhere you open the Gospels, the four Gospels, anywhere you point, you can preach. Amen. And man, I like that. Amen. I'm not a preacher. God didn't call me to preach to the giraffes. Amen. There's some folks out there that can do it. And I'm kind of reminded, like Peter said, amen, Jesus told him, if you love me, he said, feed my sheep. And giraffes eat way up here, but sheep eat way down there. Amen. And that's the kind of preacher that I am. Amen. But I'm reminded, amen, throughout the Gospels, I'm reminded in the ministry of Christ, all the portraits and all the pictures that we can see in his ministry, amen, of all that he does and all that he's capable of doing in the lives of everyone that's around him. I'm reminded when we read, especially when you open up, then I got to hurry, amen, to be as fast as I can. But very importantly in the book of Mark, specifically in the book of Mark, we see him as a servant, amen. And now we don't need to forget that he's God, amen, once we get saved. And we don't need to try to will him as him being our servant and us being God, amen. And many times that's why a lot of folks get offended. They think God ought to move at their every beck and call. soul, and they become the God of their life, and God becomes the servant of theirs, and it don't work that way. Amen. But specifically in the book of Mark, he is the suffering servant. Amen. Not just to a crowd or a clique or a few, but to all of humanity. Especially, Brother Delbert, the part that gets me and gets me excited is he didn't just come to one crowd. He didn't just come to the righteous. Amen. But he came to everyone, specifically those that nobody else wanted. And boy, that speaks to me because I can see myself and I can see the areas of me and the failures of me and the flaws of me being ingrained within the crowd that he came to. Amen. And one of the things that I love about all these stories that we have from Mark chapter number 1 to Mark chapter number 5, amen, is the approachability that there is to coming to Christ. How that he is easily approachable. Amen. You know what I found? I've got to listen to some folks preach that are my heroes. I've got to listen to some men that have had a national platform. And I thought as a young preacher before many times, and they're not all this way, and I sure hope I ain't being put out on the internet. Amen. And, but I will say this, Brother Wayne, there's some that I've got to preach to. But Brother, when they got done, I thought, man, I'd like to meet him. Amen. And I'd go up to him and they wouldn't even speak to you. I didn't have no time for you. They'd turn you away. Amen. I'd go away from you. Man, I'd go away from some of them places and I'd get my feelings hurt. I'd get in the flesh, Brother Nathaniel. I'd think, my God, I mean, man, be able to preach in power and demonstration. Amen. Have that much knowledge and God's help you. You can't even talk to somebody. And but then, you know, as I've grown older in the Lord and pastored for a few years, amen, you know, I understand some people maybe been a little bit reclusive at times and I've tried to give folks the benefit of a doubt. Amen. But you know what? You don't see any of that in Christ. Amen. I mean, man, they're touching him everywhere he goes. I mean, right out of the gate in chapter number 1, I mean, we see his healing power as he heals one there in chapter number 1. And you go on and on and on through these verses and the Bible begins to speak about in the chapters leading up to chapter number 5. You're going to find when people and those that came to him, many places it says that he healed every sickness and every disease. Amen. I mean, man, there wasn't not one place that he came to and he said, you know what? I'm not a specialist in this area. I just can't help you. Amen. There wasn't anywhere that he looked at Peter and he said, hey, Peter, I tell you what you need to do. Book him an appointment over at Knoxville and send him over there to that specialist. He's good. He graduated from UT and then he went on to so-and-so. And I just can't help you. I'm just a primary care physician. I can't help you. Everywhere that he went, friend, he was the answer to every problem that come his way. Amen. And the great thing about it all was, friend, if you would come to him, amen, and still yet today, he would in no wise cast you out. Amen. He would come to you, or rather you could come to him, you could approach him, friend, and you could get your need met by the Lord Jesus Christ. And man, I'll tell you, just a couple of weeks ago, it's been 2 Mondays ago, a week from this Monday, and I went visiting that day, amen. And I found myself early that morning, first stop that morning, on Monday morning. I'll get started here in a minute. If I don't get to preach it, I'll just give you what the Lord's given me, and I'll sit down. And but I went to East Tennessee Children's Hospital, and when I went up there to see, Walter and Melinda, and I got to know Walter pretty good. Hey, man, years ago, the oldest one that was in his house rode our bus. Ricardo rode our church bus and come to church. I actually got to take a Bible and lead Ricardo to the Lord. Amen. And he's the only child that I ever seen. Amen. He got saved that night. That night we sent the buses out and sent them home. And in about 10 minutes, as the bus showed back up, and he was on that bus, and there was 5 on that bus that wanted to get saved. And he was one of them. Amen. That's the oldest one that's in that house. I took a Bible and explained to him how he could get saved. I told him, you know, Ricardo, you're going to have to pray. Ricardo prayed. He made a profession of faith. And then he went back toward the back of the church. I thought, man, that was odd. Amen. And here in a minute, he came up with his 2 sisters. Amen. And you know what he said? I had to explain to him that they'd have to wait till the Lord dealt with their heart for them to get saved. Amen. But when he was a young feller, he thought what he got was so good that he wanted both of them to have.
have it, amen. And I had to take about 10 minutes and tell that's the way it works. Hoss, you got to wait a minute, amen. And then as he's gotten older, amen, Walter actually helped work on my house with a contractor. And so I got up there, and all the way up there, I thought to myself, I don't know what I'm going to say, amen. And man, I wrestled with it and I fought with it, amen, all the way up there. I've been in that position, amen, a few times, Brother Delmer, when there was just not going to be any words, amen. And man, I was praying the Holy Ghost would go before me, Josh, and he'd help me, amen. And man, there's just nothing I could say, amen. I just couldn't get to the right place, amen, that I thought that I'd be any help, amen, to Walter. I got there and I fellowshipped and I had prayer with him, and I left there. And on the way home, I went and visited a man that I go to church with. And man, he's been faithful and I love him, amen. He's been there the whole time, faithfully since I've been there. And he's got a degenerative brain syndrome. And I can't give you the word for it. But amen, several of his bodily functions, his motor skills, they're all shutting down, amen. And he's not an old man. He's in his 50s, amen. Got several little grandbabies, amen. And they come on him all at once. He's bedridden. And I was sitting there talking to Brother Eric. And Brother Eric said, you know what, preacher, you have to really study his mouth how to be able to understand what he's saying. And I'm not going to tell stories all night. I'll get to preaching here in a minute. But I really have to study his mouth because he's almost nonverbal. And he told me that, he said, you know what? He said the other day, and I don't know which day it was, he said, but there was some folks came that take care of him, probably part of home medical, amen. And he said, they got me up in a wheelchair, and he said, they took me outside. And he said, it was the first time I'd been out of the bed since April, amen. Oh, wow. And man, I got to cry. Boy, it tore me up. I mean, God broke my heart right there, amen. And if I'd be honest, I didn't have much to say, amen. There wasn't many words, Brother Kevin, that I could use to try to help that man, amen. I was humbled, and it brought me down to reality, amen, of how frail that we are and how limited that I am. And then I left there, and I went and visited a man I've been visiting for 15 years, amen, as long as I've been pastoring. I went down there, and I shared the gospel with him one more time, amen. And man, he's got broken several times. I've seen him get under Holy Ghost conviction, amen, but he's never got to the place he wanted to get saved. He'll cry. Man, he'll tell me he needs to be saved. And man, I went out on the porch after he got done talking to him, and he got tore up. And I said, look here, and I called him by name. I said, whatever you do, don't you wait too late. Don't you wait too long, neighbor. You get born again while there's time, chance, and opportunity, and the grace of God and the mercy of God. A friend is present where we are. I said, you better get in and get in while you can. And boy, I got in my vehicle that day, and I went home, and boy, I was heavy, Brother Kevin. And I got to thinking about how insufficient that I am at the ability that I don't have how to meet the needs of a lot of folks. There's a lot of places I don't have the answer. There's a lot of places, brother, I don't have the words. There's a lot of places that I don't have the remedy. I don't have the cure. But I'll tell you, good neighbor, hey, you don't have to read after the Savior and not find one spot, one place, one life, one situation, amen, where Jesus wasn't the answer they needed, amen. Thank God for a God who's always the answer, amen. Hallelujah. And I believe these verses that we read right here in the woman with the issue of blood, I believe they embody the very essence, amen, of all these miracles that are taking place and all these healings that are taking place, the very essence, amen, of an approachable Lord, an approachable Savior, amen. And if God would be my helper tonight, I want to preach on this thought as fast as I can. Amen, on this thought on you can get to him from here. Amen. You can get to him from here. Amen. They sometimes, you know what I can't do? I can't get to you fast enough. And when I get to her, I might not have what you need. Amen. I got a phone call last night. I've been on vacation. Amen. Vacation, your phone ain't supposed to work and nothing's supposed to go wrong. Somebody help me. I got a phone call and Bo's sitting back there. He walked in and I smelt him. I said, man, you must have been, you kin to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, praise God. And we'd been fishing last night. I'd been camping. Me and my family was camping down sunset at Dale Holler. Amen. I went fishing, crappie fishing last night. And I sunk that light. And Bo and Shane had come by a little earlier than that. We was talking, having a good time. And they left. Amen. And Shane's got a houseboat there. And he's got a pontoon boat. And he's done a little engineering and made it a houseboat. Real nice boat. Amen. It was a real nice boat. Amen. And anyway, we got done fishing about 1 o'clock. And I went back to the campground. I crawled into bed, and my phone went to ringing about 2:30 this morning. And man, I thought, who in the world? I thought I was having a dream. Amen. I thought it was a nightmare or something. I mean, that thing wouldn't. And I don't normally hear them in the night. Praise God. You better call Jesus, because most time I ain't gonna hear. Amen. And that thing went to ringing away, and it's ringing, and it's ringing. I thought, man, who in the world? And then finally, I come out of that sleep. Amen. I thought, man, somebody's needing something. It's got to be bad. And I picked up that phone right there. Amen. And it was Bo. He's sitting back there. He said, he was just as calm as could be. He said, Josh. I said, yeah. He said, Josh. He said, hey, can you hear me? I said, yeah, I can hear you. He said, is there any way you can put the boat back in and come down here to where me and Shane are? I said, yeah. What in the world for? It's 2:30 in the morning. And he said this right here. He said, the boat's on par. Amen. And buddy, I'm telling you why. And to start with, we've been big cut-ups. And me and his uncle, amen, been big cut-ups 4 years. And I thought they're lying to me. Them sorry, low-down, good-for-nothing outfits is bothering me. Here I am trying to enjoy my wife and my family. Amen. Get a few minutes. And here in a minute, that phone went ding, and I got that phone. And I'm telling you, neighbor, that thing, I mean, it was a ball of fire. I rolled out of that bed. I called my father-in-law. We headed out there, and you know what? I knew in my mind, ain't nothing I can do. Amen. That thing's gone. It wouldn't matter, friend, if I called every firefighter from here to Mississippi or all the way to northern Michigan. There wasn't no way to put it out. There was no way to help. I could not get to him from where I was at. But I'm here to tell you, neighbor, I ain't never had to tell anybody. No matter the problem, no matter the care, no matter the worry, no matter what's going on. Friend, that there was no use in coming to God. Brother Delmer, if I ever had to get to the place where I had to open my Bible and folks come to an altar and I have to start sending them away and sending them away, I'll close the book, neighbor. I'll sell these suits in a yard sale. Friend, I'll find something else. But thanks be unto God. Hallelujah to his blessed name. Friend, that we've got a God. Irregardless of what's going on in your life, you can get to him from here. Amen. From right here. Somebody said, where was she? Let me give you this fast. I got to hurry. Amen. Where was she? Number one, I want you to notice real fastly some things about her. Amen. I want you to understand, number one, amen, I want you to notice her immense pain. Her immense pain. Amen. Look at verse number 26. We're just going to jog through the verses. We're not going anywhere else much. Let's just look at these verses. Verse 26. And the Bible said, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things and many physicians. You see that word suffered? I'll probably never get off point one tonight. Amen. That word suffered. Amen. I'm going to tell you, friend, hey, we don't know the extent of her suffering. Right. We don't know all that went on. Right. Amen. But I'm going to tell you this. The Lord understood the extent of her suffering. Hey, you know what? A lot of times, you know what? We get in our mind, or even the devil, we'll allow the devil in our flesh in conjunction. Amen. What to convince us of is that nobody understands what we're going through. And that nobody understands. Right. You know what? I've heard a lot in pastoring, amen, and preaching over the years. The Lord has allowed me, his preacher, you don't understand. And you know what I'll do? I'll agree every time. I don't know where you are. Amen. I got diagnosed with leukemia as a 19-year-old boy. Amen. A 19-year-old punk kid. I'd been preaching about a year. I took chemo for a little over 2 years. Amen. I'd been poked and prodded. Amen. I stayed in the hospital multiple long accounts. Amen. And one of the hardest things, amen, is when you talk to people about your situation, knowing good and well they didn't understand when they tell you they did. I'll just be honest with you. Back then, I'd turn you off, friend. I didn't have nothing more to listen to you if you hadn't been where I was. And so I broke myself all them years ago of making the mistake of saying, I understand when I don't understand what you're going through. The Bible referred to what her problem was. It was a suffering, amen. A suffering, amen. An immense pain. What was it? It might not just been a physical pain in her body, but we understand that she was sick, amen. We understand that she was sick, but she wasn't just sick with an illness of her body. She was also separated from her family. You know what you'll find that woman was? She was a castaway. Amen. I mean, under Jewish custom and culturally, she was not allowed around anybody. Her life had been immensely changed. Everywhere that she went, she'd have to cry unclean. I mean, she was an outcast. Nobody wanted her. Nobody wanted to brush shoulders with her. I mean, literally, there wouldn't have been many that understood what she was going through. Amen. And friend, if you was to look from the outside looking in her situation, in her culture, amen, probably one of the things that crossed her mind on an hourly basis was that I'd be better off dead. I'd be better off if I'd have never lived. I'd be better off if this thing would just take me out. Nobody wants me. Amen. But I'm here to tell you tonight, friend, hey, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're suffering with. Friend, it may be something in everyday life. It may be a burden that nobody knows about. It may be something tonight that I don't understand. I believe I know your preacher close enough tonight that there's things that he don't understand. He might not even know about it. Amen. But I wanted to declare unto you that, friend, just as she was a certain woman in the eyes of a sovereign holy God, certainly tonight there is a God in heaven who sees where you are and he understands the pain you're going through. Amen. He understands. Amen. Somebody said, well, he's God. How can he understand? One of the greatest truths to me. Now remember, I feed sheep. That's what God called me to do. Not giraffes. I don't even like giraffes. The only time I've been around them, I got in trouble at the Fort Worth Zoo because I was trying to feed them lettuce. And then, I mean, if they're going to let you feed them lettuce, they'll tell you you can't pet them before you start feeding them lettuce. When they get this close, I'm fixing to do a noogie. Straight on. I don't care how big he is. Amen. Right. Down there, real low. One of the greatest truths about our Savior coming to this earth was what Philippians 2 says about him.
Yes.
That he made himself of no reputation. Now all of us tonight can shout on the form that Christ chose and the plan that he followed that God had for humanity for the plan of redemption. Did I lose you there?
No.
I mean, man, he sent his only begotten son to this earth. Amen. Sinless, spotless, born of a virgin. Somebody help me. Amen. I mean, we can all shout on that. But if God would have chose any other way and he would have made Christ of reputation, he would still be just as sovereign and salvation would still be just as right. So I hope we all believe the end as much as we do the middle. He is going to reign and rule with a rod of iron one of these days. And if he would have chosen to come in the first time to rule and reign then, amen, with that rod of iron, he would have still been sovereign. He would have still been holy. If he would have said, hey, I want you to understand this. Hey, I don't care to go to the earth. I don't care to redeem man. That's all fine. Everything's okay. But I'm not going to lay down my deity, amen. I'm not laying down who I am. I'm going as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm not going as lowly, humbly. If he'd have done all of that, we'd have still had to say it had been a great plan. Anything that would have allowed a Gentile, a dog such as you and I, to be born again and birthed into the family of God, that's a good plan. Amen. That's a real good plan. But he didn't choose that way. I done broke my pen. Somebody said, preacher, why didn't he? I was hoping you'd ask me why he didn't choose. Amen. The reason that Christ came to this earth in the fashion that he did. Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 15 tells us that at all points tempted like we are. Boy, you need to underline that. Write a bunch of exclamation points on the outside. Because God saw fit to allow Jesus, being man and 100% God and 100% man, to taste every problem, every temptation, every care, everything that would ever happen in life, Brother Wayne. He allowed him to go through it, be around it, be a part of it, without spot and without sin. That way there would never come a day that anybody would walk the aisle at Amazing Grace or at Mount Union or in China or Japan or Russia or Ukraine and they came to God and they laid out their problems, their sufferings, and Christ would have to say, send them away. I don't understand. I don't know. He allowed himself to be tempted in such a fashion fashion. He allowed himself to be tested in such a fashion so that you would never go through nothing. He'd have to say, I can't help you. Glory to God, Brother Delmer. There'll be things that my boys will face. You know what? There was a day came in my life that Daddy didn't understand. My daddy's been my hero my whole life. Are you Peyton Slavin's boy? You look like him. Amen. 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 As long as I was in the presence of my dad, as a boy, even till now, and I help him up on the pulpit every Sunday, teach Sunday school, I help him. Amen. He's a hero, my hero. Amen. Go ahead. I mean, if there's ever anybody that I thought could kill anything, whip anybody, and I never had to worry about nothing, it's Dad. Amen. There come a day as a 19-year-old boy when an oncologist would walk in and a bunch of residents and a bunch of fellows at Vanderbilt Hospital, and they'd roll me over onto my stomach, and they'd stretch my arms out, and they'd be a nurse on one side and a nurse on the other side, and they'd drill a hole in the small of my back. And friend, every day they'd pull out a substance they call bone marrow. The largest amount of bone marrow in your body is right held within that bone, amen. They'd drill a hole and they'd come out with that. And Dr. John P. Greer looked at my dad. He said, we'll be back, Mr. Gerald, in just a few minutes, amen. I don't know how long passed. Here in a few minutes they come back, and I'll never forget it, amen. And they walked in and they diagnosed me with ALL. I finally got to a place in my life, even though Brother Delmer, he was my hero. Even though that we'd walked hand in hand, even though that I trust him in whatever fire might be, I was fixing to start on a path that he did not understand. Amen. He could pray with me. He could get into bed with me, and he would. Amen. He could encourage me. He could do all those things. But I was fixing to head down a road that Dad would say, he'd say, son, I don't understand. But God understands. I'll never forget. Hallelujah. I'll have a spell. I'll never forget the first time I had chemotherapy. Is on a Wednesday. Brother Mark Hall was my pastor. Sister Annette was there. They put my port in on a Monday, and on a Wednesday they give me chemo. I've never been so sick in my life. I'm talking about since then, before or after, is that very first one. Amen. And I got real bad sick that night. I got so bad sick that I couldn't get up off the floor. I'm just going to mind God if it bothers you. Friend, you don't have to ask me back. Amen. I got so sick, I got down on the floor, and Daddy'd help me up every time I'd get sick, 19 years old. And I looked at Dad. I said, Dad, if this is the way it's going to be, I mean, they done showed me that roadmap. It was thick as a box of Kleenexes. Amen. All the protocol and all the things that I'd have to take over the course of the next couple of years. I told him, I said, Dad, if this is the way it's going to be, I'll never make it. I said, Dad, if this is the way it's going to be, I'll never be able to get through it. Amen. I'll not make it mentally. I'll not make it physically. Amen. He said, son, all I know to tell you to do, he says, let's just get down to the floor right here where you are. And he said, let's just talk to God. Amen. Hey. And the reason you hear me tonight, I'm not preaching my story for dramatic effect. I want to try to help you tonight by the help of God. The only way that Dad was able to say that is because we had a God who sent his son to face everything I'd ever face. That way he'd never have to turn me away. Amen. What are you saying? Even in a place of immense pain, great suffering, sick, separated, all so many things. Hey, man, she was in a real good place. She could get to him from here. Hey, man. Number two, we see her impoverished problems. Look at verse 26. Again, she'd suffered many things and many physicians and had, what's that next word? Spent, what's the next word? Oh. You know, we'd like to just preach that's just you run out of money. I don't really know if that was it or not, because the Bible don't say. Amen, but I've been spent in a lot of ways. Right. Yep. Hey, man, you ever been spent mentally? Yep. I mean, man, that hamster wheel's bearings went out, and I mean, she's walking off. Hey, man, friend, can't take another stride, right. Can't answer another phone call. Right. Yeah, man. Yep. Hey, that preacher there don't need the pastor. He's got something wrong. Well, I'll trade jobs with you for 15 years, and in 15 years you tell me about it. And I'm not throwing off. Amen. Amen. You walk out of the silent city of the dead with a mom and dad with one, and they're packing a casket in their arms.
I don't got nothing.
Yep. Go ahead, brother.
I don't have nothing. Amen.
Yep.
Not in me. Now, I can give them all kinds of Bible. I can pray with them. But in me, I don't have, she'd spend all. Amen. There was a family somewhere, no doubt, that she missed. Amen. No doubt. There was a family. Even if she didn't have one of their own, and I believe she did, but even if she didn't have one of their own, there was a mama somewhere.
Right.
There was a dad somewhere.
Yes.
There was a whole situation. Every time she would go back to those physicians, it was the same thing. Amen. She was spent. Spent all mentally. Mentally. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, I don't even got anything else to say. Well, you're in a real good place to get to him from there.
Right. Yes.
Amen. Amen. She'd spent. She spent mentally. She spent physically. Amen. You ever just felt like, amen, couldn't go another step?
Yes.
I'm not making it out bad. It'll get better.
Go ahead.
Amen. There's been a lot more good times than bad.
Right.
Amen. Spent mentally, physically. Amen. You ever been spent spiritually?
Yes, preacher.
Amen. Amen. Don't say you ain't, because I deal with this a lot. But I'm burnt out.
Go ahead.
It'll get quiet every time you preach on that.
Oh,
it won't change how many people say it.
Right.
I'm burnt out. Amen. Amen. You know what they're saying? I'm spent.
Right.
Amen. And I'm afraid, I got to hurry because I want to get on down there. I'm afraid a lot of times, somebody said, preacher, I just ain't getting no better. I ain't doing no good. I'm spent. I'm afraid they're still spending.
Uh-oh. Go ahead, brother.
You know what I am by nature? A utilitarian. I'm a fixer.
Right.
Can anybody testify to that?
Yep.
You know what my wife would tell you my biggest problem is? She's here, praise God, and she loves it when I do this. She'll say this, I don't need you to fix it. I just need you to listen. You ever heard that? On her behalf, I don't mind to squat up. Amen. I don't, amen. We've been through this. We got married as kids, and we're still making it work. I love her. Amen. She'll say, Josh, I don't need you to fix it. That's my first response to everything. You know what? A lot of times, you know what that is? I'm still spending. Still spending mentally. You know, sitting in them services, thinking about how I'm going to get myself out of this situation, and the preacher's preaching the paint off the walls. And I ain't,
yes.
I ain't hearing a word he's saying.
Go ahead.
Because, man, I got a leather, a mental leatherman out, and I got every tool. Man, I'm trying to just fix that thing. Amen.
Good.
Spend.
Good, preacher.
She didn't have anything else to spend. Mentally, she'd gone as far as she could went. No doubt, 12 years. Same problem every day. I mean, we can't handle something for 12 hours. Stomach bug about gets me. Somebody help me. Pray for them now. I'm not making fun. Pray for them. 12-hour bug. You know what we'll say? Praise God, I lived 12 years.
Right.
What about some others? Amen. The Pool of Bethesda, 38 years.
Right.
What are you talking about? Spent. She'd spent all. An impoverishing problem. Just getting poorer and poorer. We see them all the time. You'd be honest. Somebody say, well, how do you know that about so-and-so or whatever? You do realize that your preacher or a preacher, on Sunday, we're the only one looking back and everybody else is looking forward. We see everybody.
Right.
And a lot of times, you know, if you went to church somebody 15, 20 years, you know a little about them.
Right. Yes. Right.
And when they're up here for the first 10 and they're, woo! Every Sunday.
Right.
Amen. I mean, all you got to do is say, get the offering plate. Woo!
Yeah.
Everybody needs a few of them. Some say amen to me. Don't die.
You're right.
I've been on vacation all week and it's my birthday. Least thing you can do is say amen.
Right. Right.
And then the next Sunday or something happened. Then they slide a few back. And And they slide on by. And then maybe it's just twice a year you hear that.
Go ahead, preacher. Yes.
You don't have to say anything. I mean, we've been going to church good near 20 years. You can call it whatever you want to. I tell you what's going on, some spending.
Yep.
Kids growing up, you'll spend yourself mentally sideways raising children. Hey, man.
You better
believe it. Raising kids, right? Marrying kids.
Yes.
Amen. Pastoring kids.
Go ahead. Yep.
Amen. And then you get a little older, things don't work as good as they used to. Your health starts declining. Somebody help me.
That's right. You're preaching it right, brother. Yeah.
See folks getting quieter and quieter, Sunday in, Sunday out, Sunday in. They're changing. What's happening? They're going through some impoverishing problems.
Right.
Impoverishing problems. Spending, spending, spending. And the reason why it takes so long to make that full circle is we got to get to the point where we're spent.
Right. That's it.
It's not hard to get to him from here, but a lot of times, I mean, man, we're not going to quit trying to fix it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Spend all she had. I got to hurry. I got to get done.
Good preaching.
Impoverishing problems and immense pain. Let me give you this real fast. Let me hurry. We see her incurable prognosis. Amen. She was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Nothing better, but rather grew worse. So every time she's going back, she's spending all. She's spending more mentally, physically. She's in this pain. She's suffering, amen. And the last thing they tell her is don't come back. We can't help you. You ain't got no way to pay us. You've got no way to meet the bill. You've got, hey, as far, I mean, we've tried everything. We've done everything. We've tried new things, amen. I mean, man, there's nothing else. There's nothing we can do. And I'm going to tell you, if you've ever been there, if you've ever had a life-threatening illness, and if there's somebody in here, that's the one place you don't want to get to. But the scariest place wasn't that I was going to die, amen. It was the emotional roller coaster of week in, week out. Everything looks good. Let's forge ahead. Well, your counts is down. Amen. And the one thing you want, not wanting the day you're never wanting to come at 19, 20, 21 years old is when they walk in. And Brother Kevin, I would see it and they wouldn't have to say. I took clinic every week. Every week I was in clinic on Friday, week in and week out. And that clinic in Vanderbilt Hospital's got lazy boy recliners all the way around. And there's children everywhere. I was treated on the pediatric side. And you know what? Some wouldn't come back. Amen. And you know what? A few weeks later, there'd be a picture show up on a board, and they wouldn't have to tell you what was wrong, amen. You would already know what was wrong. Somebody got the news. There's nothing else we can do. We've tried everything. We've done all we can. We'll send you home with hospice. We'll do this. She finally got the words that what you've got wrong with you is never going away, amen. You know what some of us live with? Some of us is real good at bottling it up, hiding it, worshiping around it. We think we got things in our life. And I'm not just talking about physical sickness. But we've got burdens. We've got cares. We've got issues in our lives, personally, with our family, our children, everything in our church. And we so think there's no way they're ever going to get fixed that they're incurable. We don't pray about them anymore. Amen. We don't mention them anymore. Hey, man. I walked out of that, off that porch the other day, that little old sainted lady, that other Monday. I'll shut up and just tell me to quit. I don't know what time it is. And she walked out on the porch and she said, I don't know why you won't get saved. I said, I don't either. I don't know why he won't get saved. I said, but it sure is good to see the Holy Ghost and to deal with him. Amen. And she's just crying. And man, I'm taking her to think, what do you want me to say? I mean, and the only thing come to my heart right there. Let's tell her we ain't got to give up. Amen. Right. We don't got to give up. We don't got to throw in the towel. Why? I'll tell you why. Amen. To him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. Amen. Yeah. The Bible said, hey, for a living dog is better than a dead lion, amen. Hey, as long as there's breath, as long as there's
As long as, thank God, grace and mercy, amen, and Christ is still on the throne, there's no incurable prognosis in our life. I'm not just talking about disease. I'm talking about burdens, cares, and all those things. Amen. Well, God just can't fix it. Amen. Well, sometimes we got to get to that thinking before God can help us fix it. Because there's been a lot of times that I, you know what I want to do? I got to shut up. I wanted to fix it my way. Amen. I wanted it fixed my way. I wanted it done my way. And I had to get to the place in my heart, amen, that I was okay with whatever way God fixed it. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't argue if they told me I'd have stood on my head. Hey, man, there's some medicine I took that would absolutely, there was a medicine I took called doxorubicin, and I wasn't even planning on saying none of this. Hey, man, doxorubicin, they called it the red devil. Hey, man, I hated taking that stuff. It felt like my skin, and when I go in to get chemo, I dreaded it. I'd get sick before I ever got there because of my nerves. Hey, man, I'd get nerves because I hated taking it. It made me feel like my skin was crawling, Brother Kevin. I mean, all over. I wouldn't make it to the first Caney Fort River Bridge crossing on the way home from Nashville. I'd already be sick. I'd be sick for 5 days straight. Before I went back, I dreaded going. But if they told me I drunk that stuff by the 5 gallon buckets, amen, you know what I'd have done? I'd have done what they said. You know why? Because I got to the place in my life I understood, amen, that I didn't have the answer for what was wrong right. with me. I couldn't even see what was wrong yep. with me. And I was absolutely okay, amen, with them telling me and helping me, trying to get rid of what's my problem. The reason why, amen, they said, so many folks that feel like they can't get to him from here is because they ain't never got to the place that they thought God could fix it, and they absolutely could not. Amen. An incurable prognosis. Somebody said, preacher, you really believe you can? Well, Jeremiah said, amen, the Lord said, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Let me give you these three things I believe that changed her. Amen. Number one, was her inimitable perception. Now, somebody said, preacher, that's a big word. Well, I didn't even know what it meant. But I want you to understand what she said. Amen. Notice this. I'm done. I'm going to give you three little fast things. Verse 27. When she'd heard of Jesus. The inimitable, what that means is without any possibility of an imitation. She finally got to the point when she heard. When she heard, somebody said, well, we don't even know what she heard. Well, I think we kind of do. Amen. Amen. Maybe she heard about the Gadarean man. Maybe she heard about a man that calmed the wind in two verses. In verse 37, there was a great storm of chapter 4, and in verse 39, there was a great calm. And when they got off the boat on the other side, they said this, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey his voice? Maybe she heard about a man with a withered hand. What are you talking about? And I tell you what that done. That built a knowledge and an understanding in her mind that the one I really need is a matchless one.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Ain't it just like us at times that we try everybody before we try him? I'm not saying we don't pray. I'm not saying we don't go through the motions. I mean, we've learned how to do church. We know how to do sing three, testify, pray, put him in the pulpit. 9 o'clock, we ought to be out. 9:15, it's feast from Clark Range. Amen. 12:15, whatever it is. We know go through the motions. We know how to do it. Put it on the prayer chain. Put it on Facebook. Put it on social media. Whatever it might be. But you know what, friend? Hey, she got to the place she understood. There is no doctor that's helping me. There's no amount of money that's helping me. There's no mental strength that's helping me. There's no physical strength that's helping me. She got to a mindset and an understanding, a perception in her mind. Everything she heard about what Jesus was doing, every day it sounded better. Every moment it sounded like the right thing. Every another story that came down the road, it built an encouragement and it built a hope in her heart. If he can restore a man's hand, surely he can dry up my issue. Friend, if he can do this, if he can do that, it was an inimitable perception. There's nobody like what I'm hearing about this man. I wonder how many of us could get to where he is tonight real quick if we got back to thinking, there's nobody like Jesus. Hey, man, you know what this is? This ain't nothing. Stand up here. This guy right here is my friend. Hey, man. I'm not picking on you. You got a good one. Hey, man. I believe the Lord sent you a God-called, Holy Ghost-filled preacher.
Hey,
man. And I told him this the other day. A lot of times we'll say this about folks. If we're not careful, we say it wrongly. Hey, man, you can have confidence, but your ultimate confidence ought to be in the Lord and not in man.
Yes.
And I told him, I said, Kevin, I trust you with every fiber of my being until you prove me otherwise. And I said, I want you to feel the same way about me. But let's say our confidence is about the Lord.
Right.
I don't doubt him at all. I tell you what you can do. You can have a little reservation about me because I'm a man.
Right.
But you know what, Kevin, be the first one to tell you, there ain't nothing about this.
Right.
Hey, man, he's got a little, I got a little more. Try to comb it the same way.
Right.
Hey, man, but you know what we'll do? Hey, man, that first number will probably be mom. That first number might be dad. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I still call dad. Yeah. I call mom. That next number will be whoever maybe your friend is. That preacher will be somewhere on down the line. Hey, man. But I tell you what, there's a lot of places in my life I could call every number. Every number. And you know what I know? Some of them I'm not going to be able to get a hold of. Right. Some of them I don't want them to know. Amen. Yes. Some of them I don't want to talk to. Some of them I don't want to know what they're going to say. Yep. Amen, friend. And I'm afraid many times, hey, the reason why we're not getting to where he is from where we are, friend, is because we've got to the place that somebody's sitting level with what he should be. Somebody's sitting in his position. Amen. Somebody's rose to the same priority where he is. Hey, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could get back to the place as she was? There was no more money. There was no more mental capacity. There was no more physical capacity. If God didn't get in this thing, there was going to be no more of her. Amen. It was an inimitable perception that what I'm hearing from him, there's nobody like him. When's the last time you thought about the Lord in that capacity concerning your problems? Amen. Let me give you this. We see her indisputable position. Amen. Look at verse 27. I just got two more. I ain't going nowhere else. When she'd heard of Jesus, she came in the press and touched his clothes. Look at verse 28. She said, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes. Amen. An indisputable position. She didn't say, well, maybe I need to ask somebody about what I need to do. Ain't that the way we are? We call everybody. You know what I am bad to do? Any of y'all deal with anxiety? Don't raise your hand. I'll raise both of mine. I can see in my mind what little I got, how a whole situation is going to turn out sometimes. And it don't even line up. It ain't even in the same state when it's all said and done.
Go ahead.
Man, I'll chew fingernails off. I'll start writing resignation letters. Hey, man, worry your wife to death, won't talk. See, she likes to talk out things, and that's the right way, and I thank God for it. I'm like a turtle. I just like to go in my shell. Hey, man, I ain't got no spiritual name for it, nothing like that. I just recluse back, don't want to talk to nobody, don't really want to see nobody. Kind of like Elijah did when he left that servant and he went a day's journey. I tell you what that's called, discouragement. But the next thing is when he couldn't wake up, I tell you what that's called, depression.
Right.
Amen.
Yep. Good.
Her indisputable. She said, if I can just touch him. I wonder how many of us come tonight and said, you know what? If I can just get a hold of God about this. Maybe tonight. You know what? I'm going to go to church tonight. I'm not going to sit at home. I'm not going to let it overtake me. I'm not going to let it overcome. I'm going to go on. I'm going to be faithful to God. And I'm going to go to the house of God. And I'm going to go pray about it again. Hey, man, I'm going to go again. And if God don't fix it right then and it don't work out just right then, I'm going to go back Sunday by the help of God. Hey, man. And Sunday night, if it still ain't happening. Hey, when, friend, do we get to the time and the area in our mind and in our hearts where we think like, friend, hey, that if God don't fix it right now or if it just don't happen exactly this way, that we forget about it all. She had a resolve, amen, a position that she wasn't going to be talked out of.
Amen. How do you know that? Because of the crowd that's thronging him. I'm done. I got to shut up, and I'll say that 100 more times. Do you see what she's going? I mean, it wasn't like she's going to find a big old wide spot and get in there. He's healing every sickness and every disease. How many people do you think's around him? If he was here today, he'd shut down Vanderbilt, St. Baptist. I mean, all the amen. How many mamas do you think, friend, would be thronging Jesus? How many daddies do you think would be thronging Jesus tonight if he was on there? I mean, there wasn't going to be a wide gap for her to get into. She didn't care.
Yeah, brother.
Why would she do that? Because she heard about it. You heard about a man said, you know what?
Yeah.
I had a withered hand. It ain't withered no more.
Hey.
If I can just touch him. Indisputable. Amen. She wasn't going to be denied. Amen. Wonder what would change in my life if I prayed like that. Wonder what my attitude would be at the house of God if I really believed that. Is that okay to say? You can get to him from here. From where? An indisputable position. Let me give you this. I'm done. We see her imperative purpose. She said, if I may touch but his clothes, here it is, I shall be whole. You won't never be right till it's right again. You're here tonight and there's something between you and God, regardless of how it's got there, you'll never be right till that thing's fixed. And it'll never be fixed, listen to me, until it is imperative to you that if nothing else gets fixed, you want that fixed. I don't care if I got a wade. I don't care if I get stomped. Hey, man. I don't. If I can just touch him. You know what she was saying? I believe I can get to him from here. I don't know what you're going through, but I believe you can get to him from here. Whatever it might be. Tell what we ought to do tonight. We'll just stand up and we'll just be sensitive. Can I be on the Lord? We'll just be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. I wonder how many of us, they can come get us home, but you know, we really don't even have to have one. Be all right to get one. How many of us got something on your mind, your heart, something in your life right now? It's imperative. It ain't never going to be right.